Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Scott Bradley on your radio. The doctor's in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley, his whole life goal has been to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled Friday, folks. And we're promoting God, family, and country on your radio. This is the broadcast for March 26th of the year of our Lord, 2021. And we're on fire for the sacred cause of liberty today. Welcome to the broadcast, Dr. Scott Bradley.
Thank you very much, and always good to hear your voice. Again, at the end of the week, we kind of, I guess, well, you're on Saturday, aren't you, though, too? For me,
absolutely.
It's
six days a week.
We go from there.
6 days a week, we carry the cause of liberty. On the seventh, we simply rest as the good Lord, the author of our liberty, asks us to, sir.
Indeed. I think it's a good program.
All right. There's so much we can talk about, Dr. Bradley. I don't know if you've got a topic you want to mention, but there's a few things we could talk about. We could talk about President Biden, his press conference yesterday, the fact that he's turning everything over to Kamala, blatantly in your face doing so. That's one topic we can discuss. Another topic we could discuss is the Honest Money Report. We can also discuss the power grid. Can it handle the electricity manipulations? Etc. Do we have enough electricity to power everything, including these cars that are going to be running on electricity? We can talk about the new homeschooling report that just came out. Where do you want to start, my friend?
Well, I don't know. I mean, after, let's start with the press conference with Biden, I guess. I mean, here we are, yesterday was 65 days into his presidency, and I think the longest, well, I don't know, nobody's coming anywhere close to that long as waiting. And some of the presidents, like Reagan and Clinton, had their first press conference 9 days into their presidency. We still haven't had a quote-unquote State of the Union address from him. And then the thing that happened yesterday, holy cow, I mean, we're talking, I'll tell you about the only thing that has ever come anywhere close in a political arena to that softball game that happened yesterday. Well, it wasn't a softball game. It was a wiffle ball game. You know, those little plastic footballs that have little holes punched in them that you hit with a plastic bat when you play with a four-year-old? That's about where it was.
Yeah, it's kind of like a badminton game, huh?
The fawning press, the slobbering duplicity of everything that happened was just astounding. But, you know, here's the deal. Most of the presidents, when they get in, they can hardly wait to strut their stuff. I mean, they're ready to get on stage. They want to promote the reason they were elected. They want to give their agenda an airing. They want to give ideas about what might happen. They get on and do most of the State of the Union addresses are kind of pep rallies. But at any rate, that's the way it's done. I really suspect that Biden's handlers have been so concerned about his ability to string a full sentence together without somehow bobbling it. I guess they've waited this long and they've kind of prepped him and primed him, and everybody got their little, their little slips of paper that said, here, you can talk about this. When anything kind of went off a little bit less, I mean, kind of, you know, Biden, everything was a kind of a softball pitch. But you look at Trump, there were rude and belligerent, hollered out questions constantly. But with Biden, it was a love fest. So there's that. But you tied together the Kamala Harris power handoff. I don't know if they go together, but certainly they're probably related. But we could maybe link those guys together. I mean, she is basically doing anything that requires any activity, vigorous, in front of the press kind of thing, although it's still pretty softball with the press.
You've heard of the leaked email that just came out. The Washington Times and other places reporting on it for your reference point. Headline, Biden, Harris is now in charge of the White House. Leaked email. It's a White House directive. Elevates the vice president amid president's health. Bob Unruh, WND.com, with this piece that I'm looking at, but it's also in the Washington Times. Please be sure to reference the current administration as the Biden-Harris administration. Yeah, and it's basically an official communication, and it was bolded to make sure people understand. And so this is departing from other presidents. You used to say the Clinton administration, the Trump administration, the Kennedy administration, whatever, the Washington administration. I mean, I can go right on back. And now, though, it's the Biden-Harris administration, as they literally have a leaked directive stating that they're handing over power to Kamala Harris. Now, the problem with that plan, in my opinion, is to elect somebody on that and then to make that transition without being candid and open with the American people. Borders on criminal activity. Who's really pulling the strings? Who's really running the government in a, quote, Biden-Harris slash all administration? Doctor?
Well, you know, when Biden basically put Kamala in charge of the southern border security policy, et cetera, with the northern triangle of Central America group and so on, he basically said, hey, you know, I fully trust her. She doesn't have to check with me or anything. Sure, I'll buy off on anything she says. It is really, really a departure. I think that's a euphemistic term we could use. But it certainly doesn't follow the 25th Amendment. The 25th Amendment has a stated process by which these handoffs occur. And I think it's a kind of a soft handoff that's preparing us for the ultimate thing, which I suspect that most of his handlers felt like he'd make it through a couple of years anyway before it happened, and they made Kamala the president in every intent and purpose. But the fact of the matter is,
as long as the point is this, Dr. Bradley, as long as Kamala goes into the 24 election cycle as the incumbent, which gives her an incredible
correct.
Manipulated advantage, they don't care when it happens, as long as that precedes the next election.
Well, I truly believe that that is the intent, to have her be the incumbent. But if you stop and think about it for about a nanosecond, if you think back to when the Democrats had their beauty contest, a bevy of beauties that stood up in front of everybody and did their little pitch for themselves prior to the primaries, Kamala Harris dropped out very, very, very early. In fact, nobody was enthusiastic about her candidacy. I mean, I don't remember the numbers exactly, but they were probably below 1% of those polled on that. And here we had some of these other, they were off the chart, socialist left-wingies. And so the mainstream Democrats that have always given the Democrats the kind of their power base were saying, holy cow, we're better Americans than that. We're not going to do that. I mean, you know, Democrats, blue-collar workers that were, you know, solidly American, all this kind of stuff, were all just so, they were put off by Kamala Harris and the other left-wingers that they ended up choosing a tottering old geezer that really has trouble stringing sentences together, cogent thoughts and walking upstairs or whatever like that. And that's not to say that people that have those problems are lesser people. It's just that they shouldn't be the chief executive officer, if you will, of the United States. So anyway, Kamala got booted early, early, early. The other left-wingers that were out there, everybody's going, holy cow, we're going to get our heads handed to us in the election. So they picked this stodgy old guy and put him forward, and then he picked her. Probably he didn't pick her, but somebody put her forward with the idea of what we're just talking about making her the incumbent partway through. I don't know how far it'll get before it happens, so that she'll be ready for the next election. But by every single measurement tool that we have, this has not been anything or anybody that anybody could be excited about. And then Joe, hunkers down and bunkers up in his basement or wherever the heck he was hiding out during the whole last year, doesn't really have any kind of events for his campaign, and then they tell us he wins by an election by more votes than anybody has ever had in all of history, probably multiple times over. Anyway, and people think there's something stinky.
They even double down and say it was the most honest election in history, sir.
Well, they can tell us anything they want. It's because we have this fawning duplicity in the mainstream media to help make it so. I mean, Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler, you know, you tell a big enough lie long enough and it becomes truth. Well, that's kind of where we are in America today, and I really am astounded at how many that I formerly thought were intelligent and well-thought people have completely adopted it. And I told somebody the other day, now, you remember the Jonestown massacre thing that happened with the mass suicide, and everybody says they were drinking the Kool-Aid. It wasn't Kool-Aid, it was Flavor-Aid, just for the record. We all know that. It's a similar water flavoring drink that's way high in sugary taste. At any rate, in America today, everybody is either so brain damaged because of lack of oxygen or something. I don't know if COVID vaccines have something in there that diminish thinking capacity. But the fact of the matter is...
Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley returns in seconds on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the rude interruption. Dr. Bradley was on a roll, and I interrupted for the commercial break. Thanks for your patience. FreedomsRisingSun.com is the good doctor's prescription for the solutions of how to restore the Republic of the traditions of our founding fathers. To Preserve the Nation is his collegiate series and books on the topic. FreedomsRisingSun.com is a website with over 1,000 videos. You ought to become a member today. But weekly Q&As on the Constitution and on the events of the day, in other words, TNT, Today is News Today, if you will, available also at freedomsrisingsun.com. So, Doctor, you were mentioning that, you know, this idea that we're going to literally allow a Kamala Harris to be kind of the shoe-in for the next president of the United States, not by election, with the current challenges over the election of Joe Biden in the first place. Now you get a vice president in place that's, well, she was kind of on, as you mentioned, Biden's coattails. She wasn't very well liked. She wasn't very, in fact, she had to drop out first. She just didn't have enough support at all. And now you have Joe Biden get in under very strange, debatable circumstances, to say the least. And now Kamala Harris rides in on those coattails. Then by, oh, what do you want to say, sleight of hand, she virtually becomes the president by what? By edict? By necessity? By intentional manipulation? All the above seem to be kind of true, right?
It truly does. I think that this has all been such a charade. And those that can't see it, but like I say, I mean, they're drinking the Flavorade. I mean, and the media is fostering it and everything. I think about how absurd it would have been 5 years ago to think that there would have been something like this going on. And certainly 50 years ago, there would have been a little bit more brain power going into this thing. But it all seems so completely contrived and planned. And but there is some hope. I mean, you look at Gerald Ford. He didn't just automatically, because he got flipped into the assignment, you know, right into the next time, maybe. But that was almost 50 years ago. And so maybe times have really changed so much. But, you know, like I think I started to say that I rarely see so many softball questions. And I guess the only one that really kind of competes with what happened with his news conference, yes, so-called news conference, not much news and not much anything worthy of repeating. But back in April of 2004, I was asked to testify before the United States Senate Judiciary Committee. Orrin Hatch was the chair, in regards to the reauthorization of the USA Patriot Act. And I thought that there would be some exchange and dialogue and all this kind of nonsense that I was so naive about, I guess. But for about an hour, hour and a half before I got to go sit in front and what I thought would be an exchange of information, there were individuals from the Justice Department that presented to Orrin Hatch, the chair. And he asked the questions, and I was utterly astounded at the softball, wiffle ball kinds of questions. And I understand better later in 2012, when he last ran for office, Orrin Hatch said he was the principal author of the Patriot Act, but he was intent on having every single question reinforce what he was trying to do with the Patriot Act. Now, the Justice Department people could not bring anything. They couldn't get to first base with what he was throwing, because there was no value there. But nonetheless, for an hour, hour and a half, it went on unendingly, it seemed to me like, they did this. And that's kind of what the Joe Biden thing was these fawning, you know, falling down in worship. It's kind of like back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. When the music starts, everybody has to fall down and worship, you know. And that's kind of what the press has done to this presidency. There is nobody's calling them out on anything. There's nobody.
Well, to prove your point on this, Dr. Bradley, there's a headline that just hit the wire that says this: Joe Biden brings cheat sheets outlining key policy points to the press conference. Okay, if Trump did that, he'd be slaughtered. They'd say, you know what, you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're talking about, you're not qualified to be president, you've got these cheat sheets created by others, who the heck are your handlers? They would have a heyday with this. But now Biden literally brings cheat sheets on key policy points, okay, outlining key policy points to the press conference. No one says a word as he looks through his cheat sheets for talking points.
Well, that's the thing, is that that's another indication to me of how staged this is. You know, he gets pre-primed. He probably spent days in front of his handlers, and they say, now, Joe, if they say this, what do you say? No, don't say that. Just stay on target. Now, here, look at this piece of paper here. Just when that question comes up, just quickly glance over these bullet points. Okay, now let's try that again. I mean, like I say, it's worse than a softball pitch to a four-year-old. And he's bringing these pre-planned, pre-cooked answers, and it's kind of like, no, let's understand the big picture here. Let's understand the holistic view of the office. And this is kind of a big picture office. If anything is, you've got to have the big picture, but you also need the behind-the-scenes information, too. But none of those seem to be anywhere in the brain of Joe Biden. They're certainly not the tip of his tongue. And he just kind of mumbles his way through everything, and everybody's kind of pandering to him about what a genuinely nice guy you are, and that's why all of the illegal aliens are coming in, because you have, boy, everybody just worships at your feet about how kind and grandfatherly you are, some stupid idiot thing like that, and there's nothing that says you've got a disaster going on your hands. We've got a surge at the border. We've got a 20-year high at least going on down there. In the 2 months of your presidency, we've had over 200,000 people apprehended. We don't know how many people got through. We've got kids in cages and so many unaccompanied minors that are held there that we got sleeping on the floor, haven't seen the sunshine, haven't had a shower. There's none of that stuff going on. It's just a pass. And so we can see where the loyalties lie with those that are allowed into the room. Now, I could just, I don't know, Sam, I don't, what would you ask as a question if you were there? I mean, this is kind of a pop question for you. I mean, if you had time to think about it and formulate it, I'm sure that it'd be, a massive intrusion on their comfort zone. But,
Here's what I would ask. I'm pretty decent on my feet, my friend. You can toss me any question anytime, and I'm ready to go, bro. That's just how we roll on your radio, okay? So here's what I would say to the president. So you're Biden now, and I'm Sam Bushman. I'm a nationally syndicated talk show host. I'm a leader for LovingLiberty.net, nationally syndicated radio talk show network, and I'm a newsmaker of the highest order, okay? So here's who I am, and you're Joe Biden, and I'm asking you a question because it's my turn at bat. So here's what I say. President Joe Biden, you know, there's debates between you and Donald Trump about border policy. I get that. I'm not interested in taking one side or the other in the debate. In fact, I don't want to make this a political issue at all. In fact, I don't want to talk about illegal aliens. I don't want to talk about race. I don't want to talk about Mexicans. I don't want to talk about any of those trigger topics. Here's my question for you. If we let the border be open, if we ignore serious security at the border, it seems to me, and I submit that it's about impossible to argue against this point, is a laxed border a national security crisis? Set aside all the politics, but as commander-in-chief, is a loose border or a laxed response on the border, the taking down of a border wall, the taking down of any border security, whatever you want to say, is that a national security concern to you, sir?
Well, and then if I'm playing Joe Biden, here's how I'm going to answer. I don't think he'd be able to put a cogent thought together.
I would submit to you that this is not a right-left.
It's an absolutely essential question to this nation right now.
And I would submit this is not a right-left. It's not a Republican-Democrat. It's not a liberal-conservative. It's not any of those political talking point things. This is a serious question for the United States of America from a military, so a commander-in-chief, as well as an executor or executive leader.
What? I can't hear if there's something coming on. Harris as his lead person down there when we get back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing Liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Several powerful tornadoes tore through northern Alabama on Thursday, killing at least five people, injuring dozens of others, and destroying entire neighborhoods. The five confirmed fatalities were in Ohatchee, a town of about 1,200 people in the northwest corner of Alabama. On Thursday, House Consumer Protection and Commerce Subcommittee Chairwoman Jan Schakowsky, the Democrat from Illinois, discussed the subcommittee's hearing with the CEOs of Facebook, Google, and Twitter, and said that the hearing's purpose was to send the message to tech companies that they're going to regulate, they're going to legislate. San Francisco 49ers defensive lineman Kevin Givens has been hit with an assault charge after he allegedly beat a man at a Maryland hotel. According to court documents, 24-year-old Givens was charged with misdemeanor second-degree assault after Hayden Bosley said he was attacked by the NFL player on February 21st at the Sheraton Hotel. Givens is due in court later next month to face the charge. USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyroot for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals, bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyroot Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
Tugboats and specialized suction dredgers worked Friday to dislodge a giant container ship that has been stuck sideways in Egypt's Suez Canal for the past 3 days, blocking a crucial waterway for global shipping. John Clements from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau has more.
Dozens of other ships have not been able to traverse the Suez Canal that is vital to about 10% of the global trade. Those ships remain anchored at either end of the canal. Concern now is that the Ever Given container ship could be damaged, further disrupting the estimated 1.9 million barrels of oil per day traveling through the Suez Canal. Patrick DeHaan is with GasBuddy.com.
If it's something that may take days or even weeks, we could be looking at crude oil flows disrupted through the Suez Canal, which would be potentially significant. Really depends on what happens to oil stocks between Europe and Asia. That's where the kink is.
The Ever Given, a Panama flagged ship, carries cargo between Asia and Europe, and it may have run aground during a sandstorm. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. So Dr. Scott Bradley asked me a question on the fly. What would you say, or what would your question be to President Joe Biden at the press conference yesterday? And I would basically say, hey, you know what? Set aside all the politics. Set aside all the Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, any other divide you can find. And let's just step back and take the politics completely out of it and say, look, President, don't you think that a border that leaks like a sieve, a border that, you know what? I'm not debating illegal aliens I'm just telling you, if we have a border that is not protected, is that a national security concern to you, sir? And I submit to you that it's a national security question. This is a question for the commander-in-chief, the leader of the greatest military in the world. This is a question for the chief executive of the United States, carrying out his responsibilities in the executive branch. This is a serious national security crisis. Let's quit calling it a border crisis. Let's call it a national security crisis. That would be my question. That would be the topic and the focus for me, Dr. Bradley.
Well, and as we were leaving for the break, my assumption and my belief, strongly held belief, is that the president would not have a valid answer for that. But think for a moment. It is a preeminent question right now. And let's put it in a context. You think of the massive invasion that happened June 6, 1944, D-Day, Normandy coasts. And you take the total number of infused Allied troops into Europe. And you take that and you say, "Whoa, that was a true invasion, and they came with a purpose, and they weren't going home until they got what they wanted." Well, that is about, based upon the last 2 months of infusion into our border, for our southern border, that is about how many come about every month and a half across our border. They're not going home until they get what they want. This is an invasion of D-Day proportion that happens every month and a half based upon what we know we're capturing on that border. We don't know how many really are getting through. Well, somebody does, but I'm not sure it's very public knowledge. But the fact of the matter is, this is, can be, I think, an analogy similar to D-Day. And I say, oh, well, they're not armed, they're not bringing explosives and all this kind of stuff. But what they bring is explosive in so many ways. It's a an infusion in a marketplace for, now there's a lot of, you know, like Chamber of Commerce people who say, oh, we got cheap labor here. Well, that was kind of, if people don't study history anymore, but Emperor Valens back in ancient Rome wanted the infusion across another border, on their northern border of Rome, cheap labor, conscripts for military and markets for his Roman citizens to sell to. Those were the basic three reasons that he thought that the barbarians, if you will, coming in from the north should be welcomed into Rome. Well, it wasn't that many months before Valens and his empire were on their, well, Valens was killed in battle, but the empire ultimately fell apart because of that. We're having the same kinds of discussions today. Oh, we need bigger markets. We need cheap labor. And, of course, they always play up in the background the idea that we can get these people to go into our military and serve as cannon fodder or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, this will be a change hugely our dynamic in this nation. And these people are going home, and they're going to invite more and more and more and more people. And it's
yes, they are.
Invasion.
And Dr. Bradley, if I got a follow-up question, some of his favorite reporters got several follow-up questions as well. Instead of going to other reporters, he allowed certain reporters to get the follow-up questions and other folks never got a chance. But the follow-up question I would ask would be this. You know, President Biden, whether you think the border is a security crisis or not, what about Kamala Harris, your vice president's communist past? You know, I know in the 60s we really had a concern about communism in America, and most people believe that, the communism fell back in the 80s, the Cold War, we came out of that, and thank heavens we stopped the communists and the bad guys, and we're all okay now. We're friends with the communist China, Chinese and Russians and everybody else. But you know what? Communism is alive and well. And the principles of communism / socialism, all roads lead to tyranny in that realm. So, President Biden, are you concerned about the communist ties of your vice presidential pick and now the vice president of the United States? Are you concerned with her ties to communism? And does that concern you as the commander in chief? That would be my next follow-up question, Doctor.
Well, and it is interesting that a couple of, you know, I always try and connect the dots on things. You know me, I'm kind of a little bit different than most, but Kamala Harris and her leftist, I won't say leanings, but belief system, she has been put in charge by Biden on that southern border. And again, and the northern triangle of the Central American states and everything, it's interesting to me that never, not once, not ever, to my knowledge, and I try and pay attention on these things, has she ever expressed any concerns about anything that had to do with border security, and now she's in charge of it. She has never breathed a concern about an infusion of illegals, and it's just astounding to me to see that he's handed this over to her. She doesn't even need to talk to him about it. Just as a little interesting side note, clear back in the, well, it was about 105 years ago, there was a little invasion from Mexico that happened with Pancho Villa. And Pancho Villa came across into New Mexico. They had a pretty big skirmish there. There was some lives lost on both sides and all that kind of stuff. It was an invasion, by the way. In Article 1, Section 10, we find that those local people had every right to respond with firearms and didn't have to wait for some kind of massive response out of Washington, D.C. But at any rate, Pancho Villa, clear back then, was a communist. And he's held up as a big icon and a folk hero and everything like that in many circles. But Pancho Villa was a communist. He was a red flagger. And the communist movement in Mexico was quite a movement. And in fact, they held sway and were in ascendancy and all that kind of. By the way, they confiscated firearms and all that kind of stuff at the time they were down there. They destroyed the economic system, the real money system, all those kinds of things. But the fact of the matter is, that surge from the South is similarly based today. And it's just not the Mexicans either. We have everybody that's coming across has been steeped in a socialistic government, and their economics is all messed up. And they call them OTMs, other than Mexicans that come across. We have people from the Middle East. We have people from Asia that are coming across the border. And we know that for a fact based on the literature they're bringing with them. So this is absolutely a national security issue, and it's being completely swept under the carpet. And the people that are standing there or sitting there, I guess you'd say, in these press conferences with the chief executive officer of the nation and his stand-in, everybody's getting a pass. There's nobody that's pushing on this. And your questions are valid and essential for being answered. And as in, I say oftentimes, we're at a hinge point in America today, right now. And I do not see happy endings unless people reengage in this process that we need to have this nation again restored to its foundation. It's tragic.
So that's a question that I would ask in a follow-up question. I got another one. If I was given the chance to ask multiple questions, I got another one for you to think about. And I would ask this. I would say, you know, President, I know we're printing dollars like it's going out of style as we promote the stimulus and promote, you know, trying to get the economy back on track. So we create these dollars that say on the top of them Federal Reserve note. And, you know, that's considered a dollar in America today. In fact, it's become the petrol currency of the world, this, you know, Federal Reserve dollar that we use today so prevalently. You probably have one in your wallet, Joe, if you have your wallet on you. But nevertheless, we also, in the United States of America, have a treasury that has a mint. And at the mint, at the treasury, they print silver eagle, silver dollars. And in fact, if you go to the treasury now, they have silver eagle, silver dollars that they create yearly. So there's the 2021 silver eagle, silver dollar, and it's literally a 1 troy ounce of silver. And it literally says on it, $1. So, President, my question to you is, which dollar is the real dollar? Because here's the problem, President. It takes 38 of those dollars you're printing, like it's going out of style, to buy one of the other dollars right now. And I want to know which is the official United States dollar, sir.
If, you know, I mean, and I'm sure you would not get this answer from Joe Biden, but if you go back to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, it says Congress shall have power to coin money. And coining, if you go back to the definition that was used in the founding era, it did not have anything to do with printing presses. It had everything to do with stamping intrinsic value metal. And the 1792 Coinage Act that was passed at the behest of George Washington and his Secretary of State, Thomas Jefferson, the Congress had been a little slow at doing it, but they defined and they set up exactly what a dollar was.
Hang tight. We'll talk more in seconds about it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liberty Roundtable Live with Dr. Scott Bradley.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Dr. Bradley, before I let you rock and roll on what a real dollar is, Congress defines it, you're absolutely right. And the reason that I would ask the question that I brought forward, which is the real dollar, the fake dollars you're printing, or the minted dollar, a 1 troy ounce of silver that is brought forth even currently right now. You can get a 2021 Silver Eagle silver dollar right now, but it says a dollar on it. But it takes 38 of the Federal Reserve or fake dollars, paper dollars, to buy one of these gold or silver dollars right now. And so I would say, you know, President, which dollar is the real dollar? And if he said the fake Federal Reserve note dollar, then I would say, then why are you lying and forcing the mint to print these Silver Eagle silver dollars that say a dollar on them? And if he said, no, the Silver Eagle silver dollar is the real dollar, then I would say, then why are you printing fake fiat currency and lying to the people and saying it's a dollar? Which fake news dollar are you peddling and why? And I would start there because I think it exposes one of the greatest frauds in American history, which is moving us from an honest asset-based currency to a fiat debt-based reality. Doctor?
Well, there's so many things we could pull on that right now at this, but let's go back to the convention of 1787. On August 16th, in 1787, during the convention, there was a debate, a discussion about this very subject that we're talking about. And if you'll get out the James Madison's Journal of the Convention, you can read in Volume 2, pages 542 through 543, this exact discussion. And they discussed the idea of emitting bills of credit. That was being able to print money. There was those that had a lot of experience with that during the Revolutionary War. We'd destroyed our economy with that approach. And the Brits have even used it against us to help undermine the economy and weaken our war effort. But they had this discussion about emitting bills of credit. And that was the discussion of this printing press stuff. And there was a Mr. Reed, I believe he's from Delaware, if I recall correctly, he was so concerned about leaving the power of the United States government to print money that this is his words, well, as Madison captured them. He says, Mr. Reed thought the words, if not struck out, would be as alarming as the mark of the beast in Revelation. Okay, so they were absolutely, unequivocally aware of the dangerous step that would be to have this paper money, printing money kind of thing in there, and they did strike it out. They had 9 votes to strike it out and 2 that were against it. So here we have, right from the very beginning, we have that. We go to the 1792 Coinage Act. They specifically define a dollar based upon coin count of grains of silver, okay? We come forward all these years, we find that they confiscated real money, well, gold anyway, back in 1933 with Roosevelt. But we have on congressional testimony the head of the Federal Reserve, Mariner Eccles, testifying in Congress under oath that the Federal Reserve that's involved in this creates money out of thin air, loans it to the United States government at full value with interest associated with that. It is a scam, people. And we can go back to the very beginning of this nation and understand clearly what has happened. And so Sam's question is a valid one, but I suspect that Mr. Biden has never thought down that path for a nanosecond, nor have anybody that's in any position of authority in his administration, any of his handlers. And I suspect that they would say, oh, yeah, legal tender. That's what that piece of paper in your wallet is. That's legal tender. We defined it as such. That's fiat money.
That's great. Then why are you calling the silver eagle silver dollar a dollar on its face? You're having the Treasury at the Mint there create those every single year. You've done it, for over 100 years that you've allowed this Federal Reserve dollar to be the dollar, and now you're saying that other one's a dollar, and why don't you just pay people $1 an hour, a silver eagle, silver dollar, and therefore the minimum wage would be equivalent to $38 there, Joe?
Well, we do that because it's popular. Well, people like a shiny object in their pocket, and Americans really like that folding money because it doesn't wear holes in their pockets when they're there. I mean, there are so many idiot answers to this thing, but the fact of the matter is, real money has intrinsic value, and I've got a chapter in my book, To Preserve the Nation, that talks about real money and that talks about what happens when printing presses go amok. And we can look back at the Weimar Germany.
Because here's the deal. Here's the deal, Doctor. If we're going to do my income tax coming up in April here in a couple of days, then if I take my money and I say that I'm referring to my world in silver eagle, silver dollars minted by the Treasury, then if I make an average of $50,000 a year, but I divide it by 38 to get the, real coin dollar or the silver eagle, silver dollar equivalency, I've only made $1,315 this year.
Well, I think that what you're going to do is get some pushback on that because of the scoundrels that we have in charge of things. But you have a valid point. I mean, I think that your point is something that should be on the forefront of the discussion in regards to our monetary system. But even with our polluted system that we have right now with Federal Reserve notes and using that as the measurement tool, with using that tool, America only brings in $3.5 trillion a year from all revenue sources. On an average year lately, we've been spending $4.5 trillion of those Federal Reserve notes. And then just the other day, Biden signed a bill that on its face says $1.9 trillion of those Federal Reserve notes in just one bill. We were already overdrawn by trillions of dollars, and he just put another one out there. And what they're doing is inflating the amount of dollars that are out there in their definition, which drives our costs through the ceiling, which is someday there's going to be an accounting. In my chapter on money, we talk about Daedalian wings and, Daedalus and his flight and the wings melted ultimately and he crashed into the Icarian Sea. That's what's going to happen. America's going to crash and burn, and that's always been the final outcome with one of these phony baloney money systems. And America's in real trouble right now, today. And again,
all right, so Doctor, those would be the two questions if I were to be given two directions, if you will. Those are the questions that I would ask, and those are the follow-up points that I would make. Not too bad on the spot, I would say. But what would be your questions? What would you ask?
Oh, holy cow! I'd have to think about that. There's so many ways my mind goes, as you know. I pull on shiny string objects, and we end up in the. I mean, the idea of war. I mean, Mitt Romney was running for president, he got asked what would happen in regards to an issue of war. He says, well, I'd consult with my attorneys. Well, that's the wrong answer. Read the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 says Congress has power to declare war. You flip it back over to Congress. I mean, we have all sorts of issues in regards to not just the economy, but our international affairs and all of the, I guess I can't call it anything but a diabolical war mentality in this country. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. I mean, a guy like Lindsey Graham has never seen a conflict around the world he didn't want to get some Marines killed in. I mean, these kinds of things are hinge points in America. I mean, you talk about the idea of killing your unborn children. What about killing your children or killing other people's children around the world? And so, I don't know, something about our warmongering and our belligerence around the world. And oh, by the way, and this is, again, I jump topics pretty fast, but the American Trade Group met with China the other day, and they got their, somebody ate their lunch. I mean, the Chinese devoured them in that meeting. And we really are a kind of a weak, flabby, unmanly country anymore, because we basically go on bended knee before almost any country in the world, and if we're not, we're gonna send a few bombs that way, and we'll beat them into submission. It's just astounding what we've lost as a nation. No, there's no strength left in the position we come from, because we've given away all our high ground. You know. So I don't know. That's not a good answer to your question.
It's a tragic reality.
That question would not.
It's a tragic reality, and it's a target-rich environment for discussion, for sure, because there's so many questions that could be asked that would be legitimate. The pro-life point you made is a critical one, the national security one, the money one. You might also ask about government schools, too, you know, say, hey, you know, the government schools are the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. Do you back that 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, President?
Well, you know, and it really is an astounding thing that we really need to think about, that we have violated the First Amendment, and we have created a national religion in humanism. And the humanists realized this when they established it in our education system. It is a faith-based, godless, divine God. But honestly and truthfully, the humanist religion has become our religion of the day, and we in America have adopted that. It's a godless belief system, faith based, and now it's where we're educating our children 5 days a week, and well, on the weekend they do their homework. And how do we expect an hour of Sunday school every once in a while to offset that? And that's why we have such a fouled up group of woke people today. We've had this enough generations that it's really, it's become a real sticking point, and it's being able to stay on track with what America really has been and should be about, you know? I
want to make this point before the end of the hour. I want to make this point before the end of the hour, Doctor. You can ask me any questions you want on the fly. I'm not telling you that I have perfect answers, but you know what? I have worked on ways to restore the Republic for 25-plus years, and I've been on the radio for that whole time, and I've been asked question after question after question by people on the fly. And so I want to be very clear. I'm not telling you that I have every answer, but I am telling you that I have studied the Founding Fathers extensively, and I am prepared to double down for solutions every time. I'm double down on the choke points that are causing America's problems, and I'm also providing solutions to those every single day on your radio. So I don't want to be the guy that complains and complains and then never has any answers. I want to be the guy when somebody says, well, what do you think, Sam, that I'm ready to go ahead and hear and slam? Not for me, not because I'm a rock star, but because I want Americans to be that educated about the way we can restore the country, and that's what this whole broadcast is about. 20 seconds, final words yours, Doctor.
Well, we do have the answers. Our back trail is well known, they're well defined, and we do have answers to everything that faces America today, and they're found in the tradition of the Founding Fathers, those original intents, the words of our Charter of the Nation, and we can go back to that instantly if we would.
Amen to that. Dr. Bradley, God bless you. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Incredible stuff. FreedomsRisingSun.com. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, we declare we the people can restore our grand old republic if we turn to God Almighty. This nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.